Okay, Boker Tov, we're here at Kilat Shifte Yisrael and Ranana on Zoom, studying Amud Yomi. We're almost at the end of Masechet Brachot. And we are right now, we find ourselves on Samech Gimel Amud Aleph, about 10 lines in. Samech Gimel Amud Aleph. Yesterday we discussed Kedushat Beit HaKnesset, Kedushat Beit HaMikdash, in terms of wearing shoes and spinning. And today we're going to continue to to study things mentioned in the Mishnah and Nun Dalet Amud Aleph. So for a second, go back to Nun Dalet Amud Aleph 54a, and we'll see that the rabbis made a number of takanot. One of these takanot had to do with the brachot that you make in the Beit HaMikdash. So the Mishnah says in Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, Kol Chotmei Brachot Sheba Mikdash Hayu Omrim Ad HaOlam. Whenever they would conclude a bracha, they would always use the words Ad HaOlam, until the end of the world. What do we mean by this? So the person would make a bracha. Let's say you're saying the bracha of Chonen Hada'at. So what would you say? Bracha Hashem. Instead of saying just bracha Hashem, Chonen Hada'at, you'd say bracha Hashem, Elokei Sof the God of Israel, min ha'olam, sorry, one second. They would say, sorry, in the first Beit HaMikdash, they would say as well, bracha Hashem Elokei Sof, ad min ha'olam. Okay, bracha Chonen Hada'at. Bracha Hashem ad min ha'olam, Chonen Hada'at. So you would basically, you know, praise Hashem in a more sort of glorious type of way. Min ha'olam, chonei hada'at. Whereas in the, they made a takana because of the tzedukim, who didn't believe in the existence of olam haba. So then they changed it, and they said, min ha'olam ve'ad ha'olam, baruch chonei hada'at. Okay, so they added min ha'olam ve'ad ha'olam to the second world, referring to olam haba. So the Mishnah says, "Kol chod mevrachot hamikdash yomrim ad olam mishekil kelu atzedukim." When the tzedukim, who are this sectarian group, didn't believe in certain principles of Jewish faith, such as olam haba, amru ein olam elachad yitkinu sheyu omrim min haolam v'ad olam. So they added min haolam v'ad olam. This is all brachot in the Beit HaMikdash. So now we go to our Gemara itself, and Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. We're on 63a, okay, and we're discussing this this issue. So the Gemara says, Kol kach lama. What do we need this for? Meaning, just take out min ha'olam ve'ad olam, and then there's no issue with the tzedukim trying to change, you know, saying, ah, oh, there's no olam. So what's the answer? The real answer is that it has nothing to do with the bracha that the person making the bracha makes. What it has to do with is the person saying amen. Why is this an issue? L'fisha ein onin amen ba'mikdash. Because they never answered Amen in the Mikdash. When a person would make a bracha, Brachat Hashem, Shakol Nia Bidvaro, they wouldn't answer Amen. What would you answer in the Beit HaMikdash? Anybody know? What do you answer? You answer, as we do on Yom Kippur, Baruch Shem Kivon Malchuto De'olam Va'ed. Blessed is Hashem's name. Now, what's interesting about this bracha is that it has Baruch Shem Kivon Malchuto De'olam Va'ed, forever. So the problem was the Amen. It wasn't the problem in the actual bracha itself. The problem was the amen. Okay, I want to welcome Joey Garfunkel to our Chabura here. Welcome, Joey. We're on, again, to everybody, we're on 63A of Brachot. Okay, Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. One more day, two more days of Masechet Brachot. So because they never said amen in the Beit HaMikdash, therefore, they couldn't just take out the words Ad Olam from Baruch Shem Kvon Machto Olam Ved. Shenemar, we bring a pasuk, Kumu Barchu Et Hashem, stand up and bless Hashem Elokecha, Min HaOlam V'Ad Olam, from this world to the next world. Ve'omer, it also says, V'Barchu Et Shem Kvodecha, and we bless God's name. And blessing God's name, this is the source for Baruch Shem Kvon Machto Olam Ved, U'Miramam Makob Bracha Utila. So just to summarize, in the Beit HaMikdash, there are two halachot that are relevant. Number one, whenever a person makes a bracha, we don't say amen after it. We say Baruch Shem Kuvan Machta Delam Ve'ed, which is what we do on Yom Kippur during the Seder Avodah. That's number one. Number two, because of the tzedukim, they change from saying min ha'olam, they would just say, blessed is Hashem to the end of the earth, to the end of the world. But the tzedukim who didn't believe in olam haba, so we added min ha'olam v'ad olam in order to counter their lack of belief in olam haba. Now the Gemara then asks, Yachol kol brachot kulan te lahen tila achat. Is it possible that maybe you just answer the brachos. They say Baruch Shem Kvod Machdom Lavet just to one bracha, and you know they say it once to all the brachos. And the answer is no, we don't do that. Al kol bracha u bracha tein lo tehila. We have to answer this to every single bracha in the Beit HaMikdash. So they wouldn't just answer it to one bracha, they would always say Baruch Shem Kvod Machdol Lamed to each bracha in the Beit HaMikdash. Okay, so this is a unique issue that came up in the Beit HaMikdash, and brachot are different in the Beit HaMikdash than in other places. Good, let's move on to the next part of the Mishnah. So we go back to Nun Dalet Amud Aleph. This is the Mishnah that we're still analyzing here in the Gemara. And on 54a, Nun Dalet Amud Aleph Masechet Brachot, we learn about another takana that was established. And this takana has to do with Megillat Rut, okay, with Boaz. Okay, so what did they establish? V'hitkinu, they established, Shehei Adam Shoel Shlom Chavero B'Shem. They established that a person needs to welcome their friend, say hi to their friend, with God's name. And what's the proof for this? As we're told, V'nei Boaz Bami Beit Lechem, Boaz comes from Beit Lechem, V'yomer Lakotzerim, he says, to those cutting the field, those are the people harvesting his field. Hashem imachem is, you know, Hashem, is he with you? Vayomrulo, and they said, Yivarechecha Hashem. So he's using Hashem's name to say hi to somebody. This would appear to be violating, making a bracha levatala. What do you need to bring God's name into this? And then the Mishnah brings another pasuk, Veomer, Hashem imcha gibor chayo. Veomer, and another one, Al tavuz kize kenai imecha. Ve'omer, and a fourth pasuk, Eila asad Hashem eferu teratecha. So there are four psukim brought to prove this point that you're supposed to bless your friend with Hashem's name when you see him. Now, Rashi points out, and this is again in the Mishnah, Anun Dalet Amud Aleph, She'adam shu'el lishtom chaveru b'shem, v'shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'lo amrinan mizazel hu b'chvodo shel HaMakom. We don't say that he's ridiculing God's name. B'shvil kvod HaBriot, l'ti shem shamayim alav. You know, this is Mishum Kvod HaBriot. We don't consider this to be a wasting of God's name. V'limdumi Boaz, and we learn this from Boaz, She'amar Hashem Imcha. And we learn this from two different sources. We learn it from Boaz, who says to his harvesters, Hashem imachem, and Yivrech Hashem, and then also from the story of Gidon and the Malach Hashem. Gidon is one of the Shoftim in Sefer Shoftim, and we actually recently had a speaker who spoke about Sefer Shoftim, Rabbi Michael Hatton. He's just putting out a book through Magid on Sefer Shoftim, which is dedicated in the name of Rabbi Beller, Zichrono Livracha. And Gidon is one of the Shoftim, and a Malach comes to meet him at night to encourage him to take on the shlichut of leading Am Yisrael, and the Malach says to him, Hashem imcha gibor chayil. Again, somebody is addressing somebody else using Hashem's name. So let's go back to our Gemara and Samach Gimel Amar Aleph. The Gemara is going to ask, why do we need four psukim to prove this idea? Why don't we just have one pasuk from Boaz? So the Gemara says here, Hitkinu samach kimel alav hitkinu sheyeh adam shol b'shtam chavero v'chulei. My ve'omer. What is ve'omer coming to teach us? Ve'omer, what do we need the second pasuk for? So the answer is v'chiteima Boaz midate tenapshik amar. You might have thought that Boaz did this out of his own volition. He decided to make this up and just to add Hashem's name into greetings to other people. Tashma, therefore we have the second pasuk, Hashem imcha gibor chayel. We see that the Malach Hashem preceded him in doing this. And therefore he had a tradition of sorts, okay? And therefore also we can learn from Boaz's example. The chitema, and if you want to say malachu de gamar le Gidon, if you think maybe it was the malach who said this to Gidon, tashma al tavuz ki zekenai mecha. So don't scoff because your mother is elderly. What is this pasuk coming to teach us that your mother is elderly? So Rashi says, Al tavuz et Boaz lemor midato asa. Don't scoff at Boaz to think that he did it on his own. Ela lamud mizignei Yisrael. This is a teaching he learned from the elders of Israel. Ki yesh lo al mishe yismoch sheneamar eit lasod Hashem. That Boaz did institute, he did sort of revolutionize this idea, even though it had earlier precedent in the Malach and Gidon, which is earlier than Boaz, or at least it was the same time that he made Shifot HaShoftim. But the truth is, that Boaz has an earlier rabbinic principle to rely on. And what is that principle? Ve'omer, Eit la'asod Hashem heferu toratecha. It's this pasuk. It is a time to act for God. Heferu toratecha. They nullified your Torah. Now this is a really a fascinating pasuk in the Torah. This pasuk comes from Sefer Tehillim, and we're going to see you could interpret it in two different ways. One way is, we'll call it, a classic. It's teaching us, that's a regular pasuk. The other way is actually teaches us quite a radical antinomian idea, which will have, send sort of shockwaves through the halachic system at different points in halachic history. So let's look at it right now. So Amar Rav, Rav, now we're going to analyze this pasuk, Eit Lasod Hashem Yeferet Dartecha, and we'll see some different stories related to it. So Amar Rav, Haikra Mereisha the Seife Midrash, Miseife the Reisha Midrash. This pasuk can actually be interpreted backwards and forwards. Okay, so let's go through each of them. Mereisha the Seife Midrash, you could read it from backwards, so forward to backwards. How do you read it then? Eit Lasod Hashem. It's a time to act for God. It's a time to be zealous on God's behalf. My time. What's the reason? Mishu mefer Torataka. Other people are trying to nullify your Torah. Other people are trying to stop worshiping Hashem. Therefore, we're going to do something about this. Classic example is the Levi'im in Chet Egel. They saw the Jewish people were worshiping and they say, Eit Lasod Hashem, Hefer Tartacha, the Maccabim is another example. Excuse me, let me just put the video back on. The Maccabim is another example. Many examples of Jews standing up for Jewish principles because of our oppressors or our enemies are trying to prevent us from doing this. Okay, that's the first way to read this pasuk. The second way is different. You could read it, though, backwards. Forward. How would you read it now? Hey, Feiru Toratacha. My time of Mishum Eit Lasod Hashem. The very people who are trying to uphold your Torah nullify the Torah. Why? Because it's a time to act for God. Meaning, in order, there are times in history when we need to nullify the Torah, Dafka, in order to maintain the Torah. Okay? Now, that's quite a radical idea because you could take this anywhere, right? I'll just give you an extreme example. In the times of Shavta Tzvi, they decided that they were going to, the way to uphold the Torah was to violate the Torah. So they had orgies and they did all these crazy things and instituted fast days and took away fast days and this was the time of Shavta Tzvi. Okay, so this is a very radical idea. And Prusbul is another example. Okay, Prusbul is basically where we allow people to give loans and to take loans during the year of Shemitah, even though you're not allowed to because of Shemitah Kesafim. And the reason is in order to help people who have economic needs. Okay, so Nachon, there are different ways that this principle, that the classic example is Eliyahu Hanavi. Eliyahu Hanavi at Har Carmel, and I mentioned this last night at Mincha, Eliyahu at Har Carmel brings a korban outside of the Beit HaMikdash. This is prohibited, there's a mitzvah, a prohibition called Shechutei Chutz, Haktarat Chutz. You're not allowed to bring korbanot outside of the Beit HaMikdash once the Beit HaMikdash has been built. But Eliyahu does this on Har Carmel. How is he allowed to do this? The answer is, he was upholding the Torah. He was dueling with Nevi'ei Baal, with the prophets of Baal, and he had to go take an extreme measure in order to protect the Torah. So sometimes you need to nullify things in order to protect the system at large. Good. Now we have a statement by Hillel. Tanya Hillel Azakein Omer, Bishat HaMachnisin Pazer, Bishat HaMefazrim Kanes. At a time when people are going inwards, okay, what does this mean? That Torah learning is being reduced and diminished. Pazer, you go out and teach Torah. Okay, and the opposite is also true. Bizman, also, Bishat HaMefazrim Kanes. When everybody's going out and teaching, and there's an abundance of Torah learning, Kanes, you draw inwards. Why would you draw inwards at such a moment? Rashi points out, let's read this inside Rashi, Bishat HaMachnisim She'en Chochmei Ador Marbitzim Torah LaTamidim, at a time when the great sages of the generation are not teaching. You go out, meaning you're just a regular average rabbi, but you should go out and teach. Someone needs to teach and study Torah, even if the great gedolim of the generation are not doing it. But when the gedolim of the door are teaching Torah, you as an average person, you should don't try to teach and compete with these great gedolim. Rather, kanes, you know, just focus on your own learning. This is also a way to honor Hashem. This is another example of Eilas of Hashem. You're going to stay away from teaching Torah because there's sufficient Torah out there, and this is also an example of Eilas of Hashem, to do less, but ultimately you're also supporting the system and doing something good for Am Yisrael. Another example, if you see a generation where the Torah is not beloved upon it, meaning they don't love the Torah, kanes, also draw inwards. Sometimes you need to know when to take a step back, when it's going to be ineffective to try to teach Torah, and that's another example here. Now, the imra Isidore she'en Torah chaviva alav, Darash bar kapara teaches zalat kibbutz, kanei mina batar delayt gavar taman heve gever. Okay, so this is an Aramaic statement. And what does it mean? Zalat is like when something goes down in value. What should you do? Kavot kenei mina. Go and when the value of a product goes down, you know, buy up a lot of it. Okay? Atar delet le gvar, in a place where there's no gever, there's no man, taman heve gavar. You should be the man. You should stand up. Now this is interpreted to be referring to the study of Torah in a generation where no one's teaching or studying Torah. So you should buy it up and teach it and be a gever and stand in the stand up and be a man and teach Torah. Pshita, isn't this obvious? Sorry, Amar Abaye, Shema Mina Batar De'et Gever Taman Lo Teve Gever. It sounds like Abaye says in a place where there is already an established rabbi or dayan or posek. So you shouldn't then stand up and do this. So Gemara says, Pshita, lo nitzrocha ela b'shneim shavim, b'shneim shavim. No, we're talking about a case where they're both of equal status. So there is one rabbi who's teaching, but you also want to, encourage more Torah learning, so a second person jumps in and you have two rabbis teaching instead of one, and that's certainly permitted. When they're of equal status, when one is much greater than the other, so the one who's less great, then you shouldn't take the atara of Torah upon you. Rashi says, you come to a new place. There's one rabbi, he's a big tamid chacham. You get there, you shouldn't try to compete with him when he is an established tamid chacham and you're not. Okay, darash bar kapara. This is a very famous Gemara right here. Bar Kapara teaches, Ezehu Parashak Tanasha Kogufe Torah Teluyinba. What is a small idea in the Torah that so much of Torah wisdom is based on? And the answer is, Behold Rachacha Da'eyu, Tehu Yiyasher Orochotecha. This pasuk comes from Mishlei, Parakim or Pasuk Vav, and this means, Behold Rachacha Da'eyu, in all of your ways you should know Hashem. Okay, in everything that you do you should know Hashem. Find him, seek him out, v'hu yasher orchotecha, and he will straighten your path. What does this mean? So Rashi, let's start with Rashi, and then we'll look at the Rambam and Rav Kook. V'chol drachecha, there's no Rashi on this particular piece, but we'll see there's Rashi on something else. What this means is as follows. The Rambam explains in Ochot Deot that a person, everything that we do, can be lema'an avodat Hashem. A person could eat to fill themselves up, and they could gorge to fulfill their appetite, or they could say, wow, I want to eat so that I have enough strength to do mitzvot and to study Torah and to be healthy. So I want to eat, I'm going to enjoy, but again, I'm going to do this l'avodat Hashem. A person could sleep all day because they have nothing else to do in their life, or a person can sleep and say, well, I'm going to sleep now. This is part of my avodat Hashem. I'm sleeping so that I have enough strength tomorrow to wake up for minyan, to raise a family, to make a parnassah, to help build community, all these things, okay? A person, no matter what we do, a person could instill it with avodat Hashem, or they could also just do it for themselves. B'chol drachecha da'eyu, this is the Rambam. Rav Kook points out that this teaches us about the importance of being present. Nochchut. When you're performing anything that you're doing, be present in it. And if you're present in that thing, when you're davening, it's time to daven. When you're learning, it's time to learn. When you're doing chesed, be with the people that you're doing chesed with. When you're with your family, be with your family. And you find Hashem by being present. That's how you find Hashem in these things. Now, Rava interprets this in a much more radical way. Amar Rava, afilu lidvar avera. you could also, it's not just that you could find Hashem by doing things that we call divrei reshut, things that are objectively neutral, but you bring avodat Hashem into them. Even if you're committing an avera, there's also you could also be worshiping Hashem in this way. Now this is quite a radical statement. How do we interpret? How do we understand this? Look at Rashi. Behold, Rachacha, top left Rashi. Asilu la'avor avera, even if you're violating an avera. Da'ehu, tein lev, in tzorach mitzvahu, kigon Eliyahu b'har Karmel over aleh. Eliyahu was violating the Torah by bringing a sacrifice in Har Karmel, but he was also worshiping Hashem because he was doing this in order to bring back monotheism to Am Yisrael during First Temple times. So that's one example of this. This also, though, this idea actually has far-reaching implications in Hasidic literature. It's picked up that sometimes, you know, think about the following idea: b'makom shebaalei teshuva omdim. This is an idea in Masachet Brachot, which we saw about 30 blad ago, which means that in the place where Baal Teshuva stands, even a tzaddik emor cannot stand there. Now, what does that mean? What it essentially means is that if you taste sin, sin can enable you to actually connect to Hashem. Okay? Because by sinning and then coming back to Hashem, you've gone on a journey. You've gone on a path. You've now brought yourself to a better place. So what this is saying is that sometimes coming in touch with sin, dafka can be a way to raise ourselves up religiously, okay? And so sin, the agumat nefesh brought about through sin can deepen us and deepen our religious experience. Again, how far do you want to take? Say again? Nachon yirida l'tzorachela. So chassidut picks up this idea quite a bit. However, this is something that in Tzidkat HaTzadik, not the Chozan Milubin, it's Rav Tzadok. Rav Tzadok picks up on, Rav Tzadok HaKohen picks up on this in his book of Chassidut, Tzidkat HaTzadik, that sometimes Dvar Avera can be actually a very religiously inspiring experience. Okay, now again, one needs to be very careful what one does with this, but it's on the books. Okay. The Darash Bar Kapara. Another example could be like Robin Hood, you know, stealing from the rich to give to the poor. You're doing it Dvar Rab, you're doing it L'Shem Shamayim. Darash Bar Kapara, the Lam Yumar Adam, Etvino Umanut, Nikiya Vekala. Bar Kapara says also a person should teach their children a very clean craft, okay, an occupation, okay, and Mahi, what is this? Amarav Chizda Mechata Detal Miyuta. What is this? It's to be a seamstress, to be what's the word I'm looking for? A person who fixes clothing. I'm just forgetting the term right now.
A tailor.
A tailor, nachon. To be a tailor. Why dafka a tailor? It sounds like you're making straight lines, and that has to do with yashrut. Okay, this is it's a simple craft, and this is the person should be a tailor. Okay, Tanya Rabbi Omer. Okay, we could talk about the fiddle on the roof. Tanya Rabbi Omer, lo lama yer be'adam re'im betoch beto. A person shouldn't have too many friends in their home. Shina Amar. How do we know this? It says ish re'im mehitro ro'e'a. Because if you have a lot of friends, it will cause evil or bad to come into your home. Okay, corona, nachon. You could have corona, correct.
How about this? Familiarity breeds contempt. Is that?
Yeah. Well, the idea is you're going to start fighting with them. Okay. Good. Next idea. Tanya Rabbi Omer, Ayimne Adam Apotropis Betoch Beto. Don't appoint a servant of your house, a master of your house. She'ul male lo mina. Potifar, Yosef, Apotropos, Petoch Beto, Lo Balel Todadabar. So basically, you have an apotropos. They're going to, start a relationship with your wife, and that could lead to problems. And we see by Yosef, because Yosef was appointed as the apotropos for Potifar's home, so therefore, Esha Potifar became interested in Yosef, and you need to be careful of this. Okay. Rabbi Omer, just do a little bit more, and then I have to go to run the youth minyan. Tanya Rabbi Omer, Lama nismacha parsha nazir leparsha sota. Why are the two parshas of sota and nazir next to each other in the Torah? This is in parshat naso. But marlacha to teach you shekol haro eh sota bekiu kulay azir tominayin. A person would see the sota and they'd say, "Wow, this is a terrible situation, and I don't want anything bad to happen to me or to my family or to get into trouble." And therefore, you become a nazir as a result of this. So you see what's happening to the sota, and therefore you you refrain from wine or anything that might lead you down to a bad path. Okay, we're going to stop right here. Bezrat Hashem will continue tomorrow. Tomorrow is Tuesday. Okay, we might need, we'll finish. We might need an extra day, but we're going to talk Rashi, find out more details about the which place. We can have our siyum. We're going to have a siyum Bezrat Hashem from Masechet Brachot. We have to do it in an outdoor space, in a place where I'll be healthy to be. Okay, have a great day, everybody. Kol tov, stay safe and stay healthy.